Dorsey, Hager, Happy New Year to you. But it's been a couple of Happy New Years here in the last, since 2001, it seems things have really, really picked up in Central Ohio. And obviously, the center point is that Intel plant. So, you know what? Let's start right there. How are we progressing on that, Dorsey?
Everything's going great at Intel. We're still pouring concrete. We got the two batch plants completed out there, so they're making and mixing concrete, delivering it, pouring it on site. I would say right now we've probably got over 800 craft people out there, a lot of iron workers, a lot of operating engineers, laborers, cement masons. We've got, you know, probably 30 to 40 electricians, probably 40 to 50 pipe fitters getting ready to start some of the underground stuff. Obviously, that'll ramp up a lot quarter two of this year, but they're pouring the concrete, digging out the base for the plants and everything, and we're starting to get numbers and timelines on the water treatment plant that's going to be on site and a lot of the front of the house stuff that's going to be on site, like the support buildings, the office buildings, and stuff like that. So I was out there a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to try to get out there again next week, but it is amazing how fast everything changes just from week to week out there. And it's not only the plant, it's not only the site, but it's the area around it. I mean, we've got so many folks out there, you know, heavy highway doing road expansion and working on the interstate and all that, just to be able to get ready to bring those 7,000 to 10,000 tradespeople in and out of that facility every day. So it's been awesome to watch. The photos are amazing. The videos are amazing. It's incredible. I mean, I saw the finished product in Portland. I saw the finished product in Phoenix and was astounded by that. But to see it, you know, and I'm hopeful I'll get to see start to finish, but to see it start and just come out of the ground is absolutely awesome. And a couple of weeks ago when I was out there, I was asked to go out there by Tiviejo and Jeff Biederman, Labor Relations for Bechtel, and they're the general contractor on the plant. And they celebrated 1 million man hours worked without a lost time accident, 1 million man hours. And, of course, I saw a lot of diversity on the job, a lot of people of color, a lot of females, a lot of vets, a lot of Hispanics. And everybody, as I walked through and toured, you know, was coming up to Jeff and Tivi and, you know, thanking them for the work and the opportunity and the way that they had been treated and stuff. And they had this huge luncheon celebrating the milestone. And I got to stand up and speak and say a few words in front of the folks, which is incredible. And then when I sat back down, I turned to Tivi. I said, wow, I said, 1 million man hours. I said, that's incredible. And he said, just think, before the year's out, we'll be working 1 million man hours a month. A month. And just that number astounded me. It's going to be crazy, but we're excited. We're looking forward to it. You know, we're preparing for 2024. We had our first meeting of the year, our delegate meeting, a couple nights ago. And I just kind of recapped 2023. Looks like my projections are correct. We're going to eclipse 10 million man hours worked, which will be the most ever for the Columbus and Central Ohio building trades. If you look back 10 years ago, when a lot of us came into office, myself, Tim Ely, you know, Rodney French, Harry Mullins from the IUPAT, we were working about 4.1 million man hours a year. So to get up over 10 million man hours in 1 year is absolutely astonishing for this local here in Columbus and Central Ohio. We've seen some tremendous growth, and we're incredibly fortunate.
So more than doubled in the past 10 years when it comes to man hours work. That's incredible. You know, you mentioned the concrete, and I wonder if you could paint a picture here of the footprint of that Intel plant, because I'm just thinking that's a whole lot of concrete that's being poured right now, right?
I would say when you lay the Eiffel Tower down in Paris,
yeah,
the fab, the main plant's going to be wider than the Eiffel Tower. And I would say under roof would probably be 12 First Energy stadiums, 12 Cleveland Brown stadiums.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, just the massive amount of concrete. And I remember, you know, 2 years ago when we were talking about the project, and obviously those guys are a lot smarter than me, and they've done mega projects like this all over the world. But, you know, when they told me they were going to put two batch plants on site, obviously that's the way to go. You can't be hauling in concrete in and out and stuff. You've got to have it there. You've got to make it there, and you've got to pour it there. And those are tremendous opportunities for all the Teamsters we have out there driving those concrete trucks. And, it's an incredible thing to watch. We took a tour about 6 or 8 weeks ago with our Building Futures staff, case managers and stuff, because we're getting graduates out there from Building Futures. So the folks wanted to see it. And, you know, some of those walls and stuff underground, exterior concrete walls, are more than 16 feet thick. And somebody asked me, why are they so thick? And I said, well, you know, they got to protect from vibrations, got to protect the equipment, you know, everything else. So there's a lot of precautions taken into when you're investing $20 billion in that first phase and in those first two fabs of that chip plant. So it's absolutely astonishing. Anybody, I've probably learned more about chip plants in the last 2 years than I ever thought I would learn, and I probably don't even fully understand 5% of the whole process. That's how much goes into it. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, Dorsey, your words have certainly painted a picture. That being said, I'm just wondering, there's got to be a ton of video that's been captured here over the last couple of years on what's been going on there with this Intel plant. Is that eventually going to be posted on the columbusconstruction.org website? Because that would be a cool thing to watch.
No, it would be. And we've had conversations about that. And, you know, with technology and everything, and a lot of the stuff that we do utilizing drones and stuff, you get some incredible pictures and some incredible videos. And we're going to look at getting some of that and posting that online, especially before the plant becomes operational, because obviously when it becomes close to operational, there's going to be huge security concerns in because of some of the chips that they make and for national defense, missile defense, stuff like that. But early on in the stages, I think there's a lot of stuff that we'll be able to get access to that we can post and make public. And, the good thing about that, too, is that's going to create even more buzz and excitement for a lot of people who are either underemployed or unemployed, or folks that are in high school right now looking for a career. And we can, you know, like I've said, we can go to them, we can talk to them. Do you want to be a plumber? Do you want to be a pipe fitter, electrician, insulator, sheet metal worker, laborer, iron worker? We got 25 years worth of work right here in Licking County, one county over. So exciting opportunities, and it'll help create a lot of buzz, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of buzz about the airport, too. Talk to me about this expansion. And this is not a small expansion. We're talking $2 billion. What's going on here?
Yeah, so we heard about this about a year ago, and I started having meetings with the Columbus Regional Airport Authority in June to try to secure this work for ourselves. So there's good news and there's bad news. So the good news is it looks like Columbus John Glenn Airport is going to build a new terminal to handle increased traffic. So in the past, we've been averaging about 7 million travelers a month. We're now getting close to 13 million travelers a month. I'm sure that'll go up once more of Meta is built out, Facebook, once a lot of Amgen and Pharmavite, the pharmaceutical stuff, is built out. Obviously, once Intel is built out, and a lot of suppliers, and then also Honda, the electric vehicle, I'm sure air traffic will continue to grow, especially with our community. I mean, it's projected in the next 10 years that Central Ohio is going to grow by 1 million residents, which is absolutely astonishing. So we need a bigger terminal. We need a new airport. So they're going to build a new terminal. The cost of that terminal is going to be about $1.5 billion. And then after that's open and operational, they're going to raise the existing terminal, tear it down, do improvements around infrastructure, roads and stuff, and that'll probably be another $500 million. So we're looking at about a $2 billion project. There's not a lot of companies that can handle a project of that size. Turner, who's a local company here, a local contractor, does a lot of big work. They're doing the OSU Medical Center. They're doing Meta. They did the downtown Hilton here. They did the downtown Hilton in Cleveland. They bid it. They were not awarded it. Instead, the Regional Airport Authority went with a construction manager at risk by the name of Hensel Phelps, who's done terminals all over the world. Most recently, they did LAX. They're currently working on SeaTac, which is in Seattle. Hensel Phelps is one of the largest ABC contractors in the country, extremely anti-union. They've partnered with a signatory here, general contractor Elford. And we've had conversations with Joe Nardone, the president of the Columbus Regional Airport Authority. We've had conversations with their government affairs person, Kristen Easterday. And we've also had several meetings with Hensel Phelps and Elford. But as of to date, there is no community benefit agreement in place. Obviously, my folks, my managers, my agents, a lot of our members are highly upset about this and very skeptical about this project going forward. When we had the first outreach meeting, you know, the question was asked is, will prevailing wage be paid on this project? A representative, Hensel Phelps, said no, there is no prevailing wage requirement on this project. About 6 weeks later, they came out with a statement, walked it back, and said they were going to pay prevailing wage, which then I met with them and I asked them what the enforcement mechanism was if somebody on the job was not being paid the proper wages and benefits. And they said that basically they would withhold payment to their contractor until that person was paid wages and benefits. And I said, you know, that's not really going to work. I said, imagine you're working for a company. They're cheating you out of wages and benefits. You rat on them to the general, and then they don't get paid their draws going forward. I don't see what the motivation is to come clean and help somebody. So obviously prevailing wage is going to be very difficult to be administered on that project. So we're still trying to get a community benefit agreement. We've gotten letters of support from City Council, President Shannon Harden, Pro Tem Rob Dorns, who's an IBW member. We've gotten a letter of support from Mayor Andy Ginther. We've gotten letters of support from all the county commissioners and our Ohio Democratic delegation in the State House and the Senate. Minority Leader Russo, you know, Dontavious Gerrals, Bill DeMora. We got a letter from our county engineer, Republican County Engineer Cornell Robertson. So everybody's weighed in on this. They think it's a huge benefit for the community not to do a community benefit agreement that ensures that local people are doing this and getting paid the proper wages and benefits and health insurance. And for right now, the CEO, Joe Nardone, and their contractor, Hensel Phelps and Elford, don't see it that way. So, you know, we're getting close to seeing where the money hits the road, and we'll see what happens next.
Oh, that is really sad. A project of that scope, too, $2 billion. Wow. I can't believe. Now, yeah. Have they been able to get any community benefit agreements in other cities that they've worked in?
Yeah, they're currently working under a project labor agreement in Seattle. And when I asked Hensel Phelps and their lead project manager, who's going to be here, you know, well, why not Columbus? And he's like, well, we did a research of the market, and we decided that it wasn't needed here in Columbus, which everything that I've said to all the electeds and all the people on the board of CRAA is that's a slap in the face. So they're saying people in Seattle deserve to make the industry standard wages, benefits, and health care, but people in Columbus don't. I mean, that makes no sense to me. And what I don't think that they understand, and I think a lot of our electeds and a lot of our community leaders understand, is what they're going to do is if they go forward without a community benefit agreement in place, is they're just going to create a breeding ground for organizers. A few weeks ago, the UA alone, One International, had over 110 organizers in Central Ohio doing an organizing blitz, not only trying to get contractors, but obviously getting members because we need people. So you're going to have all these different trades sending in organizers from all over the country, because Columbus is by far and away the busiest market in the United States. And it's just going to be a breeding ground. They're going to be there morning, noon, and night. They're going to be talking to the workers at the restaurants. They're going to be talking to the workers at the gas stations. They're going to be talking to the workers at the bars. They're going to be talking to the workers at their homes. They're going to be doing home visits, hotel visits, visiting on their campgrounds, wherever they're staying. And, you know, if they're at the airport making substandard wages and benefits, there's going to be so many opportunities in Columbus and Central Ohio for them to go. Like we said, OSU Medical Center. We're getting ready to sign a community benefit agreement on the crime lab with the city of Columbus. The mayor has ensured that we're going to have a CBA in the new municipal courthouse. We've got a $20 billion job at Intel under a project labor agreement that they're looking at going to incentive pay on that. Honda is already paying incentive pay, $150 to $200 a week, depending on attendance and tardiness. A lot of our solar projects are paying incentive pay. There's jobs around the region that are paying up to $125 in incentive pay, and there's jobs outside of the region that are under project labor agreements that are paying $10 over scale and $265 a day in incentive pay. So it's just going to create a breeding ground for organizing, and that's before we even talk about the job actions. You know, what if the UA, what if the IBW, what if the IUPAT feels disenfranchised on that project. They're going to have job actions there daily. Everybody that works inside the airport, the pilots, the people that check people in, the people that clean and maintain the airport, the baggage handlers are all union. You know, are all of them going to cross that picket line every day there's a job action? What about our elected leaders and our folks here, Republican and Democrat, that are pro-labor? Are they going to cross picket lines to fly in and out of Columbus? You know, so I'm trying to, and the mayor asked point blank, what is their reasoning for not agreeing to a community benefit agreement? And I said, they have not given us one and cannot give us one. And we've laid all the traps for them. And you know, me, I wouldn't want to deal with that. It seems like it would be much simpler. Our state building trades leader, Mike Nisley, and Mark Douglas have even got involved. And it's like Mike said, sign me up for the first 2-hour shift on the picket duty. I'll get the truck and drive the rat around for 2 hours. I can do that easily. So.
Oh my gosh, this is one to watch. Holy smoke.
And it's a 7-year project, Flash. A 7-year project. And you know, because you've heard me say on this program before, this is what our organizers do who meet monthly. We create a database of all the projects in Columbus and Central Ohio that we have lost. And if a call comes in for 30 electricians and the book is empty, they have those projects. They can go out and they can strip to find those 30 electricians.
I'm still blown away about what happened with that bidding on the Columbus Airport. We'll definitely stay on that issue, especially when you got the ABC, Associated Builders and Contractors, involved. Notoriously anti-union. But let's turn the page here and talk about politics. This is going to be a very interesting year, especially when it comes to gerrymandering and trying to redistrict the districts in the state of Ohio. And Ohio it's not been good. In fact, Common Cause came out with a report that we're probably the most gerrymandered state in the country right now. So what do you see ahead here, Dorsey?
Well, we're coming off 2023, which was incredibly important. We had to make sure we kept our friends in city council. We worked our butts off to get Sarah Ingalls elected to Columbus City School Board. So it's positive coming out of 23, but then the fight begins right away in 2024. Obviously, Sherrod Brown, he's got Bernie Marino, Frank LaRose, and Matt Dolan coming after him. I think priority one is getting Sherrod Brown reelected. Nobody works harder in the U.S. Senate for organized members and organized labor and unions and all working people than Sherrod Brown. I mean, fighting on the floor of the Senate to make sure that a project labor agreement was going to be instilled at Intel and tied into the CHIPS Act, and also making sure that that money was tied into getting people of color and women, minorities and unions, you know, because the pay and the benefits on those projects were huge. And then all the work that he did with former Senator Rob Portman to finally get the Brent Spence Bridge across the finish line. So we've got to do what we can. We got to bust our butt. I was fortunate enough to be at his press conference when he turned his signatures in a couple weeks ago. But we've got to get Senator Sherrod Brown reelected. And then some of the other statewide offices, obviously in Franklin County, I feel good about some of our pro-labor Democrats, because Franklin County is such a stronghold. And, you know, we talked about gerrymandering and redistricting. Some of these districts have been gerrymandered to really overload Democrats. You know, so there's some districts here in Franklin County that have like an 81-82% DPI, but obviously we want to make sure that Leader Russo gets reelected, but also what she can do to help pick up seats in areas where there's Republicans that are either funded by Americans for Prosperity or not pro-labor. And then we have to identify our pro-labor Republicans here in Columbus and Central Ohio too. A lot of them are going to get primaried from folks from Americans for Prosperity, and we've got to get involved early. I think the primary is March 17th this year. We've got to get involved early and make sure that we work for them. We get our members out, lit drops, door knocking, get to fundraisers, get to events, make sure that they're financed and they're okay, because they've got to withstand these primary challenges from some of these people that are way, way far right, that their biggest reason for running is attacking and doing away with unions, not only building trade unions, but also teachers' unions, private sector unions, public sector unions, and all those, which will obviously set the state of Ohio back and could be a threat to everything that's going on here positively for our economy and for development going forward. So there's a lot of things we're keeping our eyes on. And then last thing I want to mention is a good friend of mine has worked at the county engineer's office for 31 years, served 3 terms as the Franklin County engineer Cornell Robertson, he will be retiring. He's not running for re-election. He announced over the holidays. So his last day will be January 31st. The Republicans will appoint somebody to finish out his last year of his term, and then we'll have an election for that office in November. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
By the way, the primary is going to be on March 19th. I think you gave St. Patty's Day there.
19th. Yeah, I did. So St. Patty's Day, we get ready for the 19th. How's that? So.
There you go. Okay. That's a nice warm-up to primary day. Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right. We're going to leave it on that note. You loaded me up with a lot of information today. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can follow them on Twitter, BuildCentralOH, and ColumbusConstruction.org is a website. You take care. And we'll do this again in February, okay?
Sounds good. 1 week, Flash. 1 week and the playoff starts. And we get to watch them this year with our Browns. I cannot wait.
We are fired up in Northeastern Ohio. No doubt about that. Go Brownies. Okay, buddy. You take care.
Right. You too. Have a good weekend. Thanks.